This is War News Radio. I'm Joe Mariani.
And I'm Leo Elliott.
Throughout this semester, we have produced a series of interviews with Central American migrants. These come to us from reporter Liliana Frankel, who spent this summer living and working at a migrant shelter in Mexico. Now we have the third and last installment of that series.
And what will that be, Joe?
This week, rap is the news.
So, we're going to rap the news?
No, but rap is our subject. This week, a story of one of the ways America's long history with El Salvador has manifested through music. Yeah. El Guanaco. Desde México para el mundo entero. Ya. Salgo de mi casa, algo confundido, con ganas de llegar a los Estados Unidos. No encuentro la razón, no encuentro un motivo para despedirme de todos mis amigos. Esto es algo duro que tengo que aceptar.
That's a recording of a live performance from Albergue Hermanos en el Camino. El Guanaco, the artist, is a 17-year-old boy from Concepción de Taco, El Salvador. In April, he left home with a cousin hoping to arrive in Los Angeles and begin a professional rap career. We record this track in an echoey concrete shower stall over beats which he and his friends composed at home. El Guanaco wrote the lyrics during his time at the shelter. Much of his recent material has been dedicated to his fellow immigrants. Inmigrante, sé que es duro continuar, la vida es muy dura, pero Dios te ayudará. Inmigrante, sé que quiere... Many Spanish language musicians touch the theme of immigration in their work. Los Tigres del Norte, a Mexican group which sings corridos, is a famous example.
Soy emigrante que sufre al estar tan lejos.
And in Puerto Rico, Calle 13 raps about human trafficking, which is often an unavoidable risk for Central Americans traveling north.
Yo me vuelo lo que siento, por eso que siento que dentro del circuito me queda poco tiempo. En el próximo tren yo me monto, prepárame la cena, que regreso pronto.
But despite the presence of over 3 million Central Americans in the United States, until I became friends with El Guanaco, I'd never heard a song which told the story of immigration from a Central American perspective. El Salvador's music industry is small, and the cost of recording music further limits the number of voices in the field. Many of El Salvador's best-known artists have minimized risk and expanded their markets by covering music from other countries. Salvadoran music as its own national genre has remained only loosely defined. Rap is considered part of the independent music movement, which means that it's more likely to have original lyrics. But its reach is still limited, especially because some Salvadorans associate hip-hop culture with the gang violence terrorizing the country. El Guanaco, for instance, who has never been part of a gang, once had to defend his right to rap to the mayor of his town. As the vitality of Los Angeles-based street gangs in El Salvador has proved, immigrants to the United States aren't sending just money back home. Diasporic communities also send social remittances. In today's show, we'll look at the shared history of hip-hop in the United States and El Salvador, and pick out some of the dynamics which make it so difficult to hear from voices like El Guanaco's. A veces siento que es duro si un amigo se va. ¿Cómo no? Y su alma camina hacia la eternidad. La mercy. Él se fue y ya no vendrá. Y para siempre se... This song, which is by a Puerto Rican artist, mourns the death of a friend who got mixed up in drugs. The chorus, which just says, "I hope you go with God, my soulmate," sounds innocent enough, but scroll down to the comments and the song's significance within El Salvador becomes clear. Most of the commenters identify themselves as gang members. The song itself has been co-opted for use in the funerals of the gang's fallen foot soldiers. The mixing of signs between hip-hop and gang cultures is a long-standing tension. Popular narratives about the origins of hip-hop claim the music has its roots in a gang called the Ghetto Brothers, who in 1971 organized a truce between warring youth in the South Bronx. Although the Ghetto Brothers' music wasn't quite hip-hop, Some say that the gang truce they engineered, which allowed for travel and collaboration between neighborhood cliques, is what eventually made the new genre possible. But Salvadoran immigrants fleeing to New York and Los Angeles during their country's 12-year civil war, whose worst violence took place between 1980 and 1992, wouldn't necessarily have associated hip-hop culture with peace.
I just want to shake some sense into you kids that are using drugs and thinking about using. So remember, don't, or else.
The minute they see me, fear me, I'm the epitome of public enemy.
Walking into some Los Angeles neighborhoods these days is like walking into a police state. So far this week, at least 4 people have died in gang-related violence.
The 1980s were the height of Ronald Reagan's crack war. Police acted with impunity, sparking days of riots in 1992 after white officers in Los Angeles were acquitted in a filmed beating of a black man. In South Central LA, where Salvadoran immigrants were settling amongst already struggling black, South Asian, and Chicano communities, local hip-hop was evolving into gangster rap.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
Won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so...
Graffiti, hip-hop's visual element, wasn't just art, but a marker of gang territory. By the mid-1990s, the Salvadoran kids who'd left violence for more violence had formed their own gangs, the Mara Salvatrucha, and Barrio 18. During the 1990s, many states adopted new policies called gang enhancements. Under these policies, youth detained for crimes were subject to extra punishment if their affect, style, or company suggested that they might be part of a gang. Youth of color were especially suspect. Some police departments kept lists of gang suspects that included the majority of non-white youth in the survey area. In 1996, the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act changed the definition of an aggravated felony, the conviction which makes it possible to deport legal permanent residents. Before, it was any crime which carried a sentence of 5 years or more. Now, it was any crime which carried a sentence of just 1 year or more. Since gang enhancements could add extra time to a sentence, Salvadoran young people living in violent neighborhoods became newly vulnerable to deportation. By 1998, the year El Huanaco was born, hundreds, if not thousands, of Salvadoran gang members and disaffected youth had been returned to Central America. According to Yuri Escamilla, a Salvadoran anthropology student researching his master's thesis at Albergue Hermanos en el Camino, rap was
more associated with violent groups, maras and pandillas. Because of its reference, the kind of people who listened to it and identified with it, it was thought of as violent, not just because of its nature, but because of its content.
El Huanaco didn't start playing music until about 3 years ago when he was 14. The beginning of his musical career coincided with the end of his academic one.
My teacher had attempted to sexually assault some of the women in the class, and I opposed him. I told him that if he kept doing it, we'd have a serious problem. I wouldn't permit it.
The situation escalated with threats on both sides until El Huanaco was forced to leave school. He found work as a gardener and eventually began to meet other young people, some much older than he was, who were working similar jobs and interested in playing music. Even though he was a novice, his friends recognized his passion and offered to help him learn to play the guitar.
It was very difficult for us because in El Salvador, like I told you, the economy is weak. Prices were high, but we checked ourselves and worked hard to buy recording equipment and beats. At that point, we could only make instrumental tracks.
The group wanted to record full songs, but they lacked the sound equipment necessary to record their voices. The equipment they were able to obtain was not high quality, and it sometimes cut the track short. Yuri, the anthropologist, says that the cost of a musical career, coupled with the lack of a strong consumer base for rap music, means that the rap scene in El Salvador has a relatively high barrier to entry.
I think that a good part of what modern Salvadoran rappers are doing is taking steps to construct a space to produce music, even while facing a context in which they are dominated by the international music industry. I would also think about the socioeconomic status of the people who are taking these steps. The people who are developing an independent system for producing hip-hop and rap have certain economic commodities, access to resources, like certain technologies, accessories, and the capacity to study sound engineering, for instance. There are different urban contexts for the emergence of rap, not just the case of migrants.
Without the support of a vibrant music industry, Salvadoran rappers must be able to afford their own studio rentals, training, and equipment if they want to produce music of a high enough quality to sell. Otherwise, they can only use informal free downloading outlets like SoundCloud and YouTube.
El mago melódico, el original, no hay más copias.
After his gardening job, El Huanaco found work with a DJ, El Mago Melódico, who became a sort of mentor for him. I found this track by El Mago Melódico on YouTube, where anyone with an internet connection can listen to it for free.
At first I thought of changing my life, of looking for work as a DJ. I wanted to be able to meet my needs. But later I realized that this wasn't my mission. My mission was to play, to sing, to do my own thing.
Still, El Huanaco got a lot out of his experience with El Mago Melódico, who taught him about recording equipment and mixing tracks, and put him in touch with other members of the hip-hop community. But other rappers weren't the only ones taking note of this up-and-comer. Concepción de Ataco, El Huanaco's home, is a colonial town with pre-Columbian roots. It's also a tourist attraction. Sometimes, while he and the crew are practicing, passerby would hear the band playing and, as tourists do, document what they heard.
They took our pictures. They told us that they admired us, our talent, and hoped we would keep on with our music. They liked what we did, but the people who lived in our town weren't interested because, well, I don't really understand why not.
Recuerda tu cabeza, baila enfrente de este caño y no me extraño que se llegue ya tu día. Yo no soy un delincuente, yo no soy una pandilla.
In those days, El Huanaco and his friends were into tiraderas, which he says are becoming popular as a youth style because of their hard-hitting lyrics. One of El Huanaco's favorites, Cinco de Julio by Sin Rivales, is a long tirade against corruption in the Salvadoran police force. The song's title references the killing of two policemen by a rogue gunman during a student protest in 2006, which recalled the political violence plaguing civilian events during the Civil War. Some kinds of political protest music are now widely accepted in El Salvador. For instance, during the Civil War, folk music groups like Yolo Cambaita, Los Torogoses de Morazán, and Cutamay Camones were formed by campesinos who belonged to the guerrilla. They sang mostly rancheras and corridos, reflecting traditional influences as well as the cultural standards exported by Mexico.
There's a difference between being an activist, emerging within a political logic that's pronouncing itself in a political context.
That being the kind of political position that Yuri imagines for rap.
Or to emerge in a political context in which you're not just an activist, when you're actually part of the movement, part of the guerrilla.
And that being the political position that he imagines for groups like Yolo Cambaita, who are listening to now. But I'm not sure what the pioneers of Salvadoran rap would make of this distinction. Pescosada, which is El Salvador's best-known and oldest rap group, is a duo from Chalatenango, a department where much of the war's violence was concentrated. Pescosada's members weren't part of the guerrilla, but their music, which takes what they witnessed as a theme, shows that they felt part of the war. In the United States, Salvadoran American rappers like Reyes del Bajo Mundo use their platform to talk about their own experiences as immigrants. Their art defines their political position in the face of politicians who seek to defame it. By rapping about his experiences as a Salvadoran migrant in Mexico, El Huanaco is tapping into that power. But now is not the first time that his music has been interpreted in a political framework. Back in Concepción de Ataco,
we had a problem. Neighbors of ours told somebody about our music, somebody that didn't agree with what we were singing about. They recorded us, but not in a good way. It was to be able to point a finger at us, and they got us in trouble with our mayor. In a public meeting, the mayor censured our music. He criticized us for criticizing the government. But we don't tell lies. When we sing, We are rapping about our reality, what people are living. We don't say things that are made up. They think they're blaming us, but it's the truth of the situation.
Eventually, El Guanaco and his crew had enough fans and supporters to win the mayor's acceptance. But the incident is telling. Since 2003, the Salvadoran government's anti-gang policy has relied on a version of stop and frisk called mano dura, through which law enforcement officials can detain civilians just on the basis of their appearance. Mano dura and its successor, Super Mano dura, landed lots of Salvadoran gang members and sympathizers in jail. But far from reducing violence, mass incarceration gave gang leadership the time and resources to recruit members, coordinate cliques, and plan attacks as they waited out their sentences. Street violence began to approximate levels not seen since the Civil War. These problems parallel and extend the police brutality which gangster rap's founders in Los Angeles took as their theme. With songs criticizing government and the police, the rappers of groups like N.W.A. were speaking the truth of their experience. But, just as we saw with El Guanaco, not everybody could take the heat.
In 1989, N.W.A.'s record label received a warning letter from the feds saying the lyrics to Fuck the Police encouraged violence against and disrespect for the law enforcement officer.
And more recently,
San Diego rapper Brandon Duncan spent 8 months in jail accused of conspiring to commit a series of gang-related shootings.
There's no way in the world these people were going to be able to charge me with shootings based on what I rap about in my music.
Prosecutors claim Duncan willfully promoted and benefited from the shootings through his gangster rap album, No Safety.
It's clear that sometimes the U.S. government's security concerns have compromised its citizens' right to free speech. But our relatively safe streets continue to be cited as an example for law enforcement in El Salvador. This year, with between 15 and 40-odd citizens killed every day, the Salvadoran business community decided that it served their interest to invest in national security. In a promotional video by the National Association of Private Business, or ANEP, passersby were asked what they would do to solve El Salvador's security problem. And here's what they suggested. This would have to change with a shift in education. I'm not just talking about the institution of education, but the learning that takes place in families. Increase education and grow the arts to make the world more sensitive. No one in our country is sensitized. We have to begin with the people driving in the streets. What I would propose is education. But instead of joining the consensus for education, ANEP hired former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani as a security consultant. Salvadoran rapper Cruz Control, who's lived and worked in Queens, New York for most of his adult life, says that what Salvadorans should expect from Giuliani is not education, but, quote, strong policies targeted against marginalized citizens, like urban artists, street vendors, graffiti artists, breakers, skaters, etc., and more police, with increased power to stop and frisk, a strategy that was recently ended by New York's mayor, Bill de Blasio, for violating the rights of its citizens, end quote. Cruz Control also claims that because of Giuliani's Republican affiliation and the candidates he supported within the U.S., he is a likely advocate of increased privatization and border control. These policies would have a negative effect on young people like El Guanaco, who, struggling with the lack of opportunity in El Salvador's weak economy, has had to travel north in search of a society rich enough to pay him for what he can offer.
My thinking is, to arrive to the U.S., to work until I'm able to buy time in the studio, to get new instruments, whatever I need to sing, to record, everything so that I can demonstrate my art. Because even if no one tells me so, I know that I have a talent, a God-given talent. And God willing, if I can put my mind to it, I will be able to make something of myself.
As a minor traveling alone, El Guanaco has struggled to cross Mexico and still hasn't come up with the money he would need to pay his way across the border. Like Alex, who we heard from on the show a few weeks ago, he was assaulted in Juchitán but got away with only minor injuries. While lucky to survive the attack, El Guanaco also wasn't eligible for the same humanitarian visa which Alex received as a torture victim. At this point, El Guanaco has been away for nearly 8 months without reaching his destination.
I want to be always fighting so that I can achieve what I want. If I stopped practicing, if I stopped writing, I would forget and no longer be able to do what I can do now. Better to keep practicing now so that later I'll have the chance to get what I have waited for.
Not long ago, it seemed like rap might be the soundtrack of a new era of peace in El Salvador. In 2012, the government brokered a truce between the incarcerated leaders of the Mara Salvatrucha and Barrio 18. A rap group formed by gang members in the jail performed for news media as they covered the announcement. Remember the theory that hip-hop began with a gang truce? It was an authentic hip-hop moment. With the truce in place, things began to ease. In exchange for concessions by gang leaders, the government promised to demilitarize the police force, which had been built up during Mano Dura, and improve the conditions in the country's newly crowded prisons. But it couldn't fully carry out these plans. As time went on, the growing opposition of wealthy conservative forces, as well as discontentment among gang leadership with the results of the agreement, broke up the truce. Since the Salvadoran government officially discontinued its support for the truce earlier this year, violence has skyrocketed, and a new exodus of refugees has begun, continuing the pattern of cultural exchange which birthed Salvadoran rap in the first place. Rap in the U.S. hasn't completely solved the problems of urban violence, but it has done a lot to get people listening. Maybe this, for people to listen, is the best we can hope for from rap in El Salvador. It would be no small thing. For War News Radio, I'm Liliana Frankel. This piece was written and produced by me, Liliana Frankel, and hosted by Leo Elliott and Joe Mariani. Kobe Levin helped with editing and voicing. Tyler Welsh also lent his voice. Thanks to Noel Quiñones, Junior Gonzalez, and Professor Milton Machuca Galvez for sharing their knowledge, and to El Guanaco, Yuri, and the staff of Albergue Hermanos en el Camino.
We are also producing a Spanish version of this piece. You can find that and the other stories in this series on our website.
War News Radio is a production of Swarthmore College. Visit us online to listen to archive shows, learn more about our program, or subscribe to our podcast. That's warnewsradio.org. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter to keep up with us between shows and let us know what you think. I'm Leo Elliott. Thanks for listening.